Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Barry Manilow night here at KeyBank Center. We are writing the songs as we speak to bookend today's show. What are you starting with, Marty?
Well, I'm starting with a little... There's some movement happening today. Like, I mean, it was before the draft, then the draft happened, and I think everybody was a little disappointed, and now it's like flurry of trades and rumors again that picks up and goalie movement and all of it. So there's a little before the drum comes in and then the little bass comes in. Like I feel like cabaret style Barry Manilow is good tonight.
And then eventually more cowbell is what you're hoping
cowbell,
for tomorrow.
Yeah, and maybe oh, big time cowbell tomorrow. I don't know where it's going to come from, but big time cowbell.
Looks like Jacob Markstrom's going to be on the move. We'll dive in on that to Florida, of all places, where his career began. Mm-hmm. But, of course, Sabres dev camp's ongoing. There were organizational moves today as far as on the hockey department side. And Amerks head coach Michael Leone is going to join us a little later on here on Sabres Live. But with all these big names that Marty was just alluding to, our Sabres Live poll question today.
That is big names.
Which big fish, sometimes found in the Buffalo River.
Erie Canal.
Which big fish trade candidate would be the most ideal fit for the Sabres? Hellebuck, Marchenko, Robertson, or Larkin? I love this question.
I love this question, too. And I love the way that our audience is looking at these players right now. And it's kind of neck and neck. Connor Hellebuck and Kirill Marchenko. And I get it. Like when you're looking at fit, first of all, you look at hockey fits. And okay, so Connor Hellebuck's a goalie that puts the Sabres in a place with a Vezina Hart Trophy winner goalie. So you're saying that would be a great fit. Nah, well, the salary and the age maybe is not as good a fit. But, you know, the place in your team is a fit. Kirill Marchenko is maybe more about the age, and three times in a row he led Columbus in goal scoring and adding that part of it because you lost Tuck. So you're trying to replace the goals. Jason Robertson, that's a lot of money, but that's a lot of goals as well. So the fit may not be there on the salary side, but it would be there the hockey side. Larkin, I love that our audience is like, I don't see the fit. Larkin, I don't see the fit either with Dylan Larkin. And I don't think.
Yeah, he's under cost control, though. And that's and he's at a position like James, you know, tweeted at the poll saying, I think they need help at center. And I think some would agree. And Larkin is a better fit than Robertson, and Marchenko, according to James. Now, Jake, of course, says Robertson would just cost too much, including cap space, and that's almost impossible to argue at this point in time based on this singular year alone and the Skinner cap hit that would compound something of this nature.
And I understand that Seattle and Dallas had agreed to maybe a trade that would have sent Jason Robertson to Seattle with an 8-year, $15 million a year extension. And Robertson is saying no to that. So, but according to Elliot Friedman, the return from Seattle to Dallas was three first-round picks and a prospect. So
I would do that every day.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Jason Robertson. So that is very close to what an offer sheet at that level, at that money would be like. Mm-hmm. It would be four first round pick, right? When you go over $12 million and all of that. So it's very similar. Now, the reason why Jason Robertson said no to Seattle is number one is priority would be to stay with Dallas. So it's trying to make it work there, give himself more time. Mm-hmm. And also it's saying like money is not everything. But now that I've got $15 million laying in front of me, like if you're coming at Jason Robertson from anywhere else, you better be getting to 14, close to 15.
You would think.
Because that's what it's going to cost for Jason. Although apparently Dallas is at 12.5, and that's the most they will go to.
And, of course, it ties in with the current deal with Rantanen, so you're keeping your top of the table. Very even among your best players. That's always hard to do, especially in this growing cap world. But again, fascinating names. Hit us up at Sabres Live.
Did you mention
for our Twitter poll question
Robertson
today.
Anders Lee from the Islanders is the guy that he would go after? So that, you know, we have those four. But
completely
if you have somebody else that you're looking at.
I mean, what do you think Anders Lee is going to get? Don't even look it up. Like, just
4.5 to 5.
He might get more than that from somebody.
You think? Yeah. I think, like, if you were to fit it in Buffalo, I think, like, $5 million would be a good price.
Right.
But he's going to get, what, 7 from somebody?
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, obviously he had a dip last year, but still. I could see him. Unfortunately, I can see just about everybody landing in the Atlantic Division.
Anders Lee, AFP projection is 6.6.
Yeah, so you nailed it.
A three-year deal. So I'm saying that Buffalo, I'd give him 5.
And from the Sabres standpoint, of course, there was obviously business to take care of yesterday, as all 32 teams had to get their qualifying offers in on restricted free agents, and the Sabres did with Peyton Krebs and Olin Zellweger, who are the two, you know, highlighted players right now that you would expect to be in the team, on the team next year. And have you changed your projections for the ultimate deals for both of these players?
Not right now. First of all, Peyton Krebs, I think that he had a very, very good vital role with the team, mm-hmm. as playing on the top line and down the lineup. Depending on where the Sabres see the fit, and Jarmo Kekäläinen has been talking about, you know, Hellenius, Austlin, Kulik a lot, and where those guys would be. But you also need to keep some players that give you that insurance that, well, if somebody isn't at the level they want it to be, then that player can fit in. That's where Peyton Krebs fits in. But is the money going to be where the Sabres want to go with Peyton Krebs, knowing that his role may be taking a little bit of a step back from where he was last year?
Especially with Jiri returning to the mix,
yes,
and Konsta and Noah, right? That could dramatically impact
your top line is fixed.
A player like Krebs, who played way more at the top of the group last year than anyone would have ever anticipated.
But Malenstein is at $2.9 million over 6 years.
Right. And by the way, I made the little offhanded comment about Michael McCarron yesterday when we talked about Malenstein, but didn't quite clarify it, because obviously I had a little Marty Rantanen about McCarron just a couple of weeks prior.
The trade and the signing.
The significant difference, obviously, in very similar six-year deals is that Beck is 3 years younger.
Yes.
So you need to keep that in mind compared to McCarron. Now, McCarron obviously got a little uptick in the money, just over $3 million, because of the fact he plays more at center and has a more pivotal role in all of that. But still, interesting deals nonetheless. Unqualified Sabres in the organization that now sign with anyone else. Zach Jones, Olivier Nadeau, Isaac Béliveau, Nikita Novikov.
Quickly, the weird thing with McCarron is that Minnesota is putting himself in a tight spot, like long-term with
Correct.
The contract.
But, Sabres fans could say the same thing based on what we just said. Like, things are tight this year because of the Skinner buyout.
Yeah,
so
but that's coming off after. Well, there'll still be some money for Skinner for a couple of years, but that's coming off the big $7 million next year. So the QOs have been handed out. I look at Krebs. I think that there could be an arbitration opportunity for Peyton Krebs, and look at my stats, look at what I did. I'm going to go to arbitration, get a one-year deal, get the money I deserve. For Zellweger, to me, that's interesting because he had played the 3 years with Anaheim. He comes in. I really believe this has the making of a bridge. So you're the Sabres. You bring in a Zellweger in. You say, let's see what you've got. Let's get you a 2 or 3 year deal bridge, probably in the $3.5 to $4 million. Look, Kesselring just signed just under $4 million with San Jose, and we all know that.
No, over 4.5.
Is it 4.5?
Times 3 years.
Okay. Well, maybe it's in the four range for Zellweger.
It was actually the most perfect contract to put into context why Buffalo couldn't risk going to arbitration or have, like, it was like there's no way there's no way he's going to fit. But then you look at the team that he's with and it's like, this is easy for them. They have so much room and it makes a lot of sense.
But okay, so Zellweger taking close to that on a 3 year deal, which will give him a year before he's a UFA, so then you can hit the big contract. I wouldn't go 6, 7, 8 years with Zellweger. Well, they couldn't go 8 because he just got traded, and so they could go 6 or 7, but I wouldn't do it now. I would just do a 2 or 3 year bridge and then really get the sense of what you have as a player and how does that player fit with your team here. So I think
especially at a time when you are flush with defense prospects that you really, really, really believe in. There's at least a handful of candidates here that they are undoubtedly projecting to be Sabres in the reasonably near future. So
yeah, I can count them on one hand right now. You know, you start with Radim Mertka. You can have Daxon Rudolph, who just got drafted. You have the Kleber and Zimmer and Sturback, and you've got a lot of defensive prospects.
You do, and obviously, you know, one guy to keep in mind, and we'll talk to Michael Leone coming up. I mean, his roster has now changed so much as he goes into his third year. He's got a now veteran defenseman in Ryan Johnson, who's got two more years at NHL guaranteed money. Like, this is another fascinating thing here as far as the evolution of him as a player, where he fits in this organization. And when you speak of that from an organizational standpoint today, and especially the Amerks, big news from the Sabres under Jarmo Kekäläinen, as he has announced and the team has announced the following promotions within their front office. And Stacey Roost is the new GM of the Amerks. This is, you know, he was brought in earlier this year as a pro scout back in the month of January, but he has such a history within the Lightning organization at this level and being a director of player development and assistant general manager. So
AHL legend, Stacey Roost.
Well, and obviously carved out a, you know, a shorter career with the Red Wings, but you're right, a very strong and long pro career in the game. So he's now director of player personnel and GM of the Rochester Americans.
Well, obviously there was a spot, right, with, you know, Karmanos not being with the organization anymore. Mm-hmm. He was the GM of the Rochester Americans and assistant general manager to previous Kevin Adams. So now you're looking at, there's a spot there. And when Stacey Roost was brought over, I remember having a, you know, often conversation with Mark Bergevin, and he said, look, we, and the Armo said that too when he talked to the media, we don't have as much coverage out west as we would want to. So that was his primary job.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you continue to work with the people and you realize, hey, this will be a really big asset for us to keep moving forward. So you elevate him to director of player personnel and you have him manage Rochester, be the general manager in Rochester. So I think that's going to be a great spot for Stacey Roost. That's an addition to the organization that was welcomed last year, more on the pro scouting side, but it will work there.
And Tim Kennedy promoted to director of player development.
I love that. Like, Tim Kennedy is a perfect fit for that. He is a local guy that played for the organization, moved around a little bit, knows the, you know, the steps that it takes going from, you know, playing junior college to the American League to the NHL and whatnot. He has coached at the youth level. He's worked at the youth level developing. He's been a player development coach, meaning he's been on the road working with these young players. Now he's going to oversee the player development, you know, aspect of things. So that is awesome. My former teammate, Derek Dorsett, is now added to the list. He worked with Jarmo in Columbus.
Yes. And, well, he was still playing at the end there, right? You know, right around the time as he went to the Rangers from the Jackets was the time the organization was transitioning to Jarmo as the general manager.
We're showing a funny clip here.
Dorsett was never afraid to stand up for a teammate.
No, and we're showing a clip from 2017 where one of his teammates with Vancouver almost got his head taken out, and Dorsett jumped in and obviously fought a pretty tough customer, but I remember the day Dorsett
Derek had 1,314 minutes in penalties, so he's no stranger.
No, it's no stranger. But I remember the day he was traded from Columbus to the New York Rangers. It was trade deadline day in 2013. Marin Gaborik went to Columbus, and Derek Brassard, Derek Dorsett, and John Moore came over, and we needed him in the lineup, although he was injured, so he didn't play that night. But the Rangers sent a charter plane, Mr. Dolan's plane, to pick him up. They were dropped off at Teterboro Airport in New Jersey, put on a chopper, flown with the helicopter to the West Side Highway helipad, and then got into like a couple of cops' car and then driven to MSG. That was a
sounds a lot better exciting than Ryan Klo's cross country
well,
experience.
Well, that was the same thing.
Yeah, Jarkko Ruutu is the European development coach now for the Sabres, and Jarkko had a very infamous moment with the Sabres, Andrew Peters, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, when he was with the Ottawa Senators, I believe he may have had a biting incident. I don't know. The video is going to show that, yes, he bit Petey. And
Petey's hand might have been in his mouth for an extended period of time.
Sometimes you don't want to put your fingers in somebody else's mouth. But so Jarkko Ruutu was tough. He was really tough. But I just saw him in the Sabres equipment room a couple days ago. Well-mannered, really good with the players. Mm-hmm. You saw him. I don't know if you paid attention to him, Duffer, this morning at development camp, but he's out there communicating. Very, very good addition to the development coaching staff over in Europe, because you got to focus on Europe as well.
And Tuomo, his brother, continues to be an assistant coach in Florida, where he's had great success as an assistant, winning cups with Paul Maurice. Now, as far as Dev Camp, you're talking about Dev Camp.
Yes.
It continued today. It will wrap up on Thursday with the 3-on-3 tournament beginning at 9:30 in the morning. But today was day two of on-ice sessions. They also had a pretty extensive off-ice workout yesterday. And the first pick for the Sabres in this year's draft, which happened on Friday night, Daxon Rudolph, has obviously garnered a fair amount of the attention.
Absolutely. It was funny, a couple of the small area games that they played in, he was in front of the net, cross-checking, like, and being on the offensive side of things. He is stand out, you know, and it's fun. There's a lot of adrenaline. But out of the class of 2026, those five draft picks, you know, Daxon Rudolph, there's Ilya Morozov. Is that how we say it?
Yes. That's what the coach told us
Morozov,
yesterday.
Not Morozov.
But there's three different pronunciations lingering out there, so choose wisely.
I choose Sabres Live. And he stands out as well. But obviously, we talked to his coach at Miami University yesterday, and we now know the person a little bit more. He stands out for a lot of different reasons. And then the sixth-round pick of this year's draft, Dylan Dumont, plays in the Quebec Maritimes Junior Hockey League. He had a couple of laser beams this morning, bar down. I was like, who's this kid? Like, he's got a lot of skill set. And it shows up in those type of kind of practices, so it was really good.
We'll hear from Michael Leone on the skill that he is seeing at development camp this year coming up. Obviously, from a across the league standpoint, let's continue with the rumors, which is kind of how we let off with our Sabres Live poll today. What do you think's happening? We're a day away from free agency.
Yes.
Most, including insider Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet, continue to believe that there will be more trade activity, even though we've seen a ton, but there will be more because of the devalued nature of July 1st this year and the lack of big name free agents.
Yeah, and I think that some teams are going to try to fill some of their openings or maybe upgrades that they need to make.
But do you think, like Friedge said, that they're going to revisit Buffalo and Winnipeg here?
Yeah, so I think that what's going to happen is some teams are going to sign players on July 1 and realize, oh, we didn't get what we wanted. Let's hit the phones again. Mm-hmm. And if you're Buffalo and Winnipeg, like it hit a little bit of a speed bump, let's just say, in the conversation. It was the fourth overall pick, the eighth overall pick, which players are being thrown in, whatnot. Now you cleared that all out. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, okay, what can we work? Because I think, again, it's all player-driven. You know, you have the Larkin wanting out, Brady Tkachuk wanting out. I'm not saying Connor Hellebuyck wants out of Winnipeg. And Kevin Cheveldayoff actually did not confirm that Connor Hellebuyck asked for a trade. But I think as we continue to hear the names, and Connor Hellebuyck to Buffalo, Connor Hellebuyck maybe to Florida, Connor Hellebuyck to whatever, now the player himself is going to say, okay, let's get it done now, right? How you're a player like Connor Hellebuyck, either you're in the trade rumors to be traded or you're not in the trade rumor at all and you come back. Mm-hmm. I think the player eventually is going to say, let's make it happen. And that's why everybody believes that this Hellebuyck, Buffalo, and others is not closed. Now, Hellebuyck to Florida may be closed because Florida's got their goalies. Mm-hmm. You know, they were able to go and acquire Akira Schmid from the Vegas Golden Knights and then Jacob Markstrom from the New Jersey Devils. So that seems to be like, okay, they're set in that in Florida. So Hellebuck's not going to go there.
Yeah, it sounds like this deal is Evan Rodriguez, Jesper Boqvist, Ben Steeves to New Jersey in exchange for Jacob Markstrom.
Markstrom is 37, 36, 2 years left well, 2 years of his deal. It starts this year at $6 million.
And so. Obviously, the Devon Levi angle is what for you?
Well, the Devon Levi angle is, you know, the Sabres have, obviously, Luukkonen, Lyon, Colton Ellis. They have Ratzlav, Tapias Lehtonen. They have prospect. They have players. You look at Sebastian Kosa getting a first-round pick from Detroit to trade him to Utah. So maybe the Sabres are looking to say, hey, Devon Levi could be a first or second rounder or whatnot. There's going to be conversation. I think Devon Levi is going to get traded, probably going somewhere else. But it may be later in the summer or maybe even as we approach training camp.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned yesterday Gallagher to the Canucks, and obviously Gudas had been rumored at least to have his rights going to Florida. That has happened, obviously.
Yes.
Real quick on the new, by the looks of it, tandem in Florida of Markstrom and Schmid, both now former Devils.
Yes, former Devils. You mentioned Markstrom was with Florida at the start of his career. Actually, Rochester Americans, right? When Florida used to have the Rochester Americans and
yes.
shared with Buffalo and then outright, you know, was their team. So Markstrom is a weird case for me. I am not a fan of Jacob Markstrom, but when he is on, he can be very, very good, dominating to a certain extent. Big guy. Florida is probably just saying, we need a guy that comes in that's going to give us maybe the street cred, right? We have a good goalie. We have a guy that played Olympics and all of that. But at the same time, Florida believes that they have the team that is not going to give up a ton of chances. They have Ekblad, and they have Seth Jones, and they have Lundell, and they have, like, you know, they have the team that's going to take the step forward. They just went from Bobrovsky to Markstrom, basically hoping it stays the same.
Right, but the other domino here is, like, what is the Devils' goaltending going to look like with Jake Allen? You know, is Nico Daws going to fill that? Are they going to go elsewhere here?
And maybe Bobrovsky goes to New Jersey and just says, we're going to make a goalie swap, right?
Yeah.
And maybe Bobrovsky goes to L.A. Maybe Darcy Kemper goes to New Jersey. I don't know. There's still a ton of movement that's going to happen here in the next 48, 72 hours or so.
And we want you to lock in your seats for the 26-27 Sabres season. It is fast approaching, and we want you to do so with a 10-game plan. You can enjoy per-game savings, playoff ticket priority, guaranteed seat location. Choose from a couple of plans, each featuring one matchup against either Tampa or Montreal, plus 9 other games. Learn more and secure your plan today at sabres.com/10. Michael Leone in studio next.
Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
This upcoming season, you can create unforgettable game nights for 10 or more people with group ticketing experiences, save on box office pricing, plus get access to exclusive experiences like photos on center ice, post-game slapshots, Sabres access, and more. Visit sabres.com/groups to learn more. As promised, Amherst head coach Michael Leone in studio with us here on the edge of free agency.
His phone just beeped. Should we see there's a, like, an update? What's happening here?
Was it from Stacey Roost, your new general manager?
Might have been.
Yeah?
May have been.
That's
Where
good.
Are you?
That's
we need
good.
You here right now.
Michael, this would not surprise you. I've been doing the homework for seemingly weeks trying to put your roster together.
Assistant general manager, Brian Duff,
for next year. And obviously, there's a lot of work to be done here. And Stacey Roost is the new general manager. You're going into your third season. Just take us through, like, the process now of building out this next Amherst team for 26-27.
Yeah, funny story. Before, we were, you know, we've hired a lot of, you know, Doris, TK, and then I was joking around. I was like, hey, you guys are going to be playing for me if we don't find... No, but, you know, I didn't know Stacy, but, you know, he was in Tampa. I played for John Cooper. I know people in the organization. And then when he was hired last year, we communicated. And then this was my first time meeting with him in person. And, yeah, we kind of just hit it off. Like, I'm really excited to work with him. You know, the opportunity to work with someone who's won 2 Stanley Cups is... You know, built, part of me is, you know, I hope he built some of these teams they had in Syracuse, because they were, you know, I think he was a part of, you know, Syracuse for a long time. And, you know, they've had 7 40-win seasons, I think, in his time was there. And if you get 40 wins in the AHL, you're doing something right. So, you know, it's a partnership. I'm really excited to work for him. I have a lot of respect for him and what he's done. So looking forward to it.
So you talk about the changeover from the last year, the Rochester Americans, and now getting younger to a certain extent, and you're at development camp, so you see some of the young players that, you know, are going to play in their first year pro maybe, or will be there in a couple of years. So what's that like for a coach transitioning from, well, you had a bunch of veterans and now there's a lot of young players, but, you know, you're going to have to add, and the next week is going to be good for AHL to add players as well.
Yeah, it's a unique, you know, I think for even before I came, Seth, there was an influx of really young players, you know, the Kuliks, the Paterkas, Quinns, and most recent, Helly and Oslin. I think now, you know, those guys are graduating. And then we have a really good, you see them out here, the Zemers, those Moreaus off, those guys are going to be really good players, pro hockey players, and excited that they're in our organization. But there's kind of a, you know, we have Jake Richard right now. Yeah. And there's kind of a, you know.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I've got him as top line right winger. So.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's going to be a, you know, a little bit different in Roch. You know, there's going to have to be our D core is now, you know, we have an influx of really young D coming up, so it's a little different. But I think it's just coaching is coaching, whether it's a young player or older player. It's what you believe in and try to get that through with how your team plays.
And you had a, you know, little sample size of some of the guys that that turned pro last year in Mertka and Sturback and McCarthy. And then we look at development camp right now, and it seems like, holy cow, like the most fascinating area is the number of defensemen that are, like, really good prospects. So
really good.
Does that give you, like, I get it. They're so inexperienced, but does it give you, like, a little sense of comfort?
Yeah, no, it's – I'm glad they got the experience. You know, Mirka played in the playoffs for us. I don't know if it was every game, but the last series, and to go through – as a young defenseman in the American League coming back, it's a hard league. It's a really hard league, and it's our division, I don't want to say it's the hardest, but there's some teams that there's nowhere to hide in those arenas, and I'm glad we got all those young players' games at the end of the season. I think it was really good for Gavin McCarthy to play those games, and we were playing really good opponents. I think all three got to play Providence, and they had 54 wins, so you're playing against the, you know, as good as it gets in the American League. Yeah. And all of them did a good job. There was, you know, games they probably learned a lot. And I think for each player, it's really important that they have a big off season and come into camp. When we see them at camp, you see them now, and hopefully there's a transformation in their body, their strength, coming into training camp.
Is that different to say, hey, I've got a young defenseman coaching a young defenseman or coaching young forwards? How does that approach differs for you as a head coach?
No, it's a really good question. I think for forwards, it's a little bit more easier to, I guess you would say, hide a guy because you could play him with two veteran players and, you know, cleans up the mess. I think we're with a defenseman, you get put in, you know, that puck goes behind you 50 times a game. Yeah. So there's going to be a lot more mistakes. There's going to be a lot more areas where you can get exposed. And I think with forwards sometimes, you know, if you play a young player, which we try to do with a veteran player, you know, talking with them throughout shifts, and you have that as defenseman, I think it's just when you have two guys on your line instead of just one partner.
But there's also more opportunities to shine, to make plays, to look good, to just say, I'm ready to go.
I always think with the defensemen, there's going to be – it's easier to find the mistakes because the ones – you're the last line of defense.
Right.
The puck usually ends up in a scoring chance.
Talk to the goalies about that.
Yeah. So they get exposed a little more, but they also – you know, I'm a big believer in you have to hold your young guys accountable, but you also have to – I don't want guys playing where they don't have the freedom to make mistakes. It's a game of mistakes, and use their tools, you know, especially with some of the forwards that we had and that you guys have seen. You know, you got to let those guys play because they can make plays that other people can't.
First impressions this week with any of the kids at development camp? And
I actually grabbed Jerry Knighty, and I think they've done an incredible job. This is my third year here, and just seeing the everybody looks at the high name, but even some of the Merslinkis, I'm going to say his name's wrong, or the Hungarian kid.
Yeah.
I mean, those are, you're out there, you're like, these guys are really good players, and some of the players that they've
What about Morozov at 17?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I know a little bit of, I was in the USA, I was, you know, GM head coach in Green Bay, so I was following the youth hockey, and he was, if you would have saw him, and I mean, he would score like 5 goals a game when he first came over. He was really good in playing the USHL. This was before, you know, the college rules, so the USHL was a really good league. Celebrini was in the league. Mm-hmm. Michael Hague was in. There was really good players. We had Artem Levshunov. Yep. And it's hard to play as a 16-year-old and just to see what he's done in Miami as a true freshman. Mm-hmm. You know, you're playing. You know, I listen to Anthony, and I know him really well. They don't they're building their program, but they don't have 14 NHL
right. Yeah,
sorry,
exactly.
NHL draft picks on their team.
Yeah. Right,
like he's carrying the mail with good complimentary
players. Coming off of what, a 3-win season the year before. Yes. Like that's
so
a lot.
I mean, just to see the size and the strength, and you hear about the character. He's just being around him. He has a presence. I mean, he's. Like, I, you know, you tap him on the shoulder, you think he's like, you thought it was like the Bills draft pick, you know, like he's like a big.
And he's only 17. He's not going to be 18 until August the 3rd.
No,
so.
he looks, he looks really good.
Another big guy is Adam Kleber, right? Like, what's he listed at? Like his
6'6".
6'6". Like, he stands out because of the size, but he also looks really good on the ice.
Yes, he's. I know him. I coached a couple of USA hockey events with him when we got to represent our country. I mean, just to see his transformation from when he started in the USHL, didn't make the national team, you know, to be the best or the defensive defenseman in the NCHC, arguably one of the hardest leagues in college. Just his skating and. You know, like he looks like it. You know, when you're watching him, you're like, wow, that's an NHL skater, that's NHL size, and he does have good hands. And I think the organization's really lucky to have him. His growth and development over the last 3 years has been outstanding.
Have you gotten a lot of calls from USA Hockey people because they're in town too for their festival right now at Northtown Center? So
they're giving me a hard time. I haven't, I'm trying to spend as much time. With, you know, Yarko and our new development staff, amazing people. So I got to get over there sooner or later because I know USA Hockey's been a big part of, you know, my coaching journey and a lot of college friends, you know, players that I know that are there. So I got to stop over there.
I think, I mean, we were talking about it because it's so hot outside and you're looking for cool places to hang out. Come to development camp and then go out to the festival at Northtown Center. I think their all-star game's tomorrow. I think it ends tomorrow.
It is. And we're pulling for Marty's son. I know everybody's keeping tabs because he's over there. I heard he's doing well. I might send a text to Rod, who runs the NTDP, to, you know, get him there. But
get him going.
Yeah. So it's cool. And then Jason Nightingale has a lot of kids because he coaches that age group.
Yeah.
And has done a great job with the Buffalo kids. I think they have 8 kids there, which is awesome to see. And then I think 3 of them were actually drafted by Green Bay in the USHL.
Oh.
Yeah.
Amherst head coach Michael Leone with us in studio. What did you take away from your 1 year in France as a player?
Got to travel a lot. I thought it was a great experience. The hockey was a lot better than I thought. I think there was a lot of Quebec major junior league guys who were AHL East Coast guys. The goalie Bernier, the one that played in the NHL a long time, his brother Jonathan was a really good player in the France League. And there was a couple teams that all the French national team players played on that were really good, like the teams that had a lot of
money. How did you end up there?
Crazy story. So John Burkhard, who's the scout amateur scout, he was my youth hockey coach for Honeybaked, and then Rich Mitro, who is now in our organization doing amateur side, was my coach in Europe, and they had a relationship because he was at Lake Superior State. So when we were in juniors, and then Burkhart went wherever John Cooper went. So it's the NA, USHL. So he had a great relationship with college coaches, and Rich his wife's dad owned the team in France. So that's how I... And then Tony Parker ended up buying the ski resort that he...
Tony Parker, the NBA, San Antonio Spurs, like French.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So he bought the ski resort.
He didn't buy the
hockey team.
No, not the hockey team.
The ski resort.
Yeah.
Did you ski while you did?
Yes. I remember the first time. I never skied before. They're like, oh, it's not a small hill. And it's like a, there's like Olympians.
It's not a hill. It's
like,
a mountain.
Yeah, there's like two Olympians from Vlard. It's like a ski town. And they took me up like 5,000 feet. I was like, yeah, I'm not going down there.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love this.
And if I do, I'm not playing this weekend because I'll get hurt.
But it was an unbelievable experience.
Absolutely. How old? What, early 20s?
Yeah, I went, usually guys go after. I went right after college.
Yeah.
And then I came back. But it was amazing.
Did you learn any French?
I did not.
Did not.
I did not.
Okay, well, I could teach you. Or you could talk to Morozov about, like, he's learning. Did you know Ilya Morozov is learning French on Duolingo right now?
I heard that.
That's unbelievable. So maybe he can teach you a couple
things. I know a couple, Marty.
A couple things we cannot say on the radio.
Yeah.
You could probably say it on the radio. Nobody
would
know.
No. Starts with a T. Yes. I think, yeah.
Yes, okay. And it's with an A and a B and whatever. Yeah. So, yes, that's good. Although, well, these are all the swear words. That's what my kid learned,
I just remember the French guys on the team, like the Canadian French guys, like screaming. And I was like, what does that mean? And I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah. That's awesome. The hockey's good, though. Like, you know, people say, like, you know, you go play in France or you go play in, obviously, like, the German league, the Swiss league, but Cole Schneider plays in Italy. He's on the ice with your staff running practice or whatnot. He's playing in Italy. Like, that's a fun league. He's a local guy, and he's getting the chance to
do
that.
I would compare it almost to the East Coast League. Like, it's very similar. Like, some of the players that were from the Quebec Major Junior League, they were 80, 90-point guys, go over there with their families and speak French. They love it.
Any other things specific to, like, what are you hoping to have unfold here under Stacey's guidance as general manager in the next couple of days? Like, when you look at your team right now, like, what are the areas that you really, really, really hope you can plug a hole or two with?
Yeah, I think it's, you guys have looked at the roster. I think, you know, with Noah and Helly going up and, you know, playing really good, there's a lot of open spots in Rochin, and it's a unique situation that the AHL club hasn't been in a long time, where you have the opportunity, especially with our young kids, to get, you know, I don't know if we haven't hit the max limit, you know, since I've been there with vets. And I think we're in a situation now where we can, you know, get older guys, I think, for one, high character guys that are going to be really good pros for the organization, and then possibly could be, you know, call up guys for the big club.
Who is going to wear the full equipment as an assistant coach like Vinny Prospel was doing? Because obviously he left for St. Louis, an assistant with the Blues. So there's an opening.
Yeah.
Is this a prerequisite of the job, having full gear sometimes for practice?
No. If you want to, but Vinny was a unique individual, and if he lost some of those games in the morning, you were going to hear about it the rest of the day. But Stacey and I have gone through a process. I think we waited till we got to development camp. We've been making a lot of calls, and I think, you know, we have a good idea of where we're at, and I think that, you know, we'll come to a decision pretty soon.
Very good. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Like the studio?
Amazing.
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 Should visit more often.
Yeah, like, this is legit. It's really good.
Until we turn the mics on.
Yeah, and like then that I'll, show. Yeah. Like, I watch Bussin' with the Boys, and it's kind of like that feel. You know?
I like that.
Yeah, okay.
Not on a school bus, but.
Enjoy the rest of the summer, Michael. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
And
appreciate
obviously, it. Development camp with Michael and company continues at Lecom Harbor Center tomorrow. We're back after this with a development camp.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, rolling along here. Are you ready for the draft?
I'm ready. I'm trying to, but the poll first.
Okay.
I think we're looking at this was a great question. And by the way,
what?
I'm going to give you credit.
No. Chris Johnston From The Athletic.
That's, okay, yeah. Well, you said with Big Fish, trade candidate with most ideal fit, the Sabres right now. Connor Hellebuck, Kirill Marchenko, Jason Robertson, Dylan Larkin. Jason Robertson is taking the lead,
wow.
Duffer.
Wow.
That is a... as outstanding development
the
because it
fish.
Was Hellebuck and Marchenko early, and I don't know that Robertson would fit the Sabres as much as, but it is a big fish. I think Hellebuck's still the better fit.
You know right what today now. Is a great reminder of?
What is it?
If you're not plugged in, you're really not going to hear anybody.
You're not going to hear anybody.
No.
But now we need to be plugged in because we got a draft coming up.
Are we doing the draft?
We're doing the draft.
Do you
yes.
even know the 28 participants in
yes.
this year's Sabres development
yes,
camp?
Yes, I've got it right in front of me right now.
All right, good luck to you.
14 forwards, 11 defensemen, one goalie.
Who gets first pick, Sammy? Who's getting first pick?
You get first pick. It's D. Duff.
I don't have anything to flip. Do
I
you?
Don't have anything to flip. Here. No, yeah, we'll yeah, do no, like no. a T
here, here.
On the.
My.
Here.
My
it's pointing towards
okay,
you.
Okay, it's pointing okay. to me. Okay, so I'm picking it. First. You get yes. second and third.
So we need three forwards, two defensemen, and a goalie.
Yeah, well, obviously I am starting. Where am I starting? I'm starting on the blue line with.
Ooh. Who are you picking?
Adam Kleber, because he's going to shut everybody down.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Are we drafting for the 3-on-3 turn? No, we can't.
No, we're this drafting is, like a best
fictitious.
Five, like
this is, okay.
six group.
Okay, so I'm taking Kleber. Sorry.
Okay, that is a really good pick. I am going to
thank
respond
you.
With Radim Mertka
ooh.
On that one.
And you
so,
get two in a row.
And
here.
I get two in a row. So now I'm going to move to the forward group, and I think I'm going to go with Morozov. As my forward, ooh. As one of my forwards.
Okay, that leaves me Brody Ziemer.
Yes.
Who will be captain of the squad.
Okay.
And
he does have leadership qualities, that's for sure.
And based on your early scouting report today, which I verified with my own eyes, I'm going to have a little snipe show component in the Dylan Dumont.
Yes. Okay. That is really good.
There's three goaltenders still available, just so you know.
There's three goalies available, and I get that. But because you went Dumont, and he was the prospect with most goals.
The clock is ticking here. We got to hurry.
Ticking. So I am going to go with Ryan Rzinski as my one of my forward.
The Ohio State.
Youngstown at 27 goals last year. And then I'm going to go with... Daxon Rudolph. I'm going to go and pick my other defenseman.
How quickly they've fallen from first round last week to seventh selection overall
exactly.
in our DevCamp draft. What are we even doing
so you
here?
Need, what do you need? You need a defenseman, a forward, and a goalie.
That's true. I'm going to add... I'm going Melvin Novotny.
Oh, that's a great pick. Melvin Novotny... Obviously,
and I get one more pick here,
you
right?
You get another pick, yes.
I'm going with Jacob Biron.
You cannot do that. You can't pick my own kid before
the fact
I get
that it took you this long to follow the bloodlines.
Yeah, I should have
shame
picked
on
them.
You.
I, you know, that's terrible. But I, you know what? Just like Vancouver, maybe not wanting to pick Caleb Malhotra, I think he's going to flourish with you.
Oh,
I think I'm going to let you like really do a good job.
I was really impressed by Jacob today. I was, I'm being 100% sincere.
Yeah.
I loved his practice today.
He had a really good practice. I'm going to go with Samuel Milosz
okay.
as my goaltender, and I think that's it for me.
No, you got one more.
What do I need? I need a forward. Okay, I'm going to go with Jake Richard.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That is a steal.
Yeah. Last pick. I'm going with Richard.
I'm going with Ashton Schultz.
Ashton Schultz. That is a good pick, too.
That's amazing. You got the Amherst top line winger with your final pick.
No, I was listening to Michael Leone here, but you know what? I'll say this. A great, fun time. All great players. They all are looking good.
3-on-3 happens 9:30 Thursday morning to
yes.
wrap up Dev Camp. Very quickly, Wimbledon update. Oh, tennis master you are.
Okay, yes. Jessica Pegula, you know, set for a second round matchup here on Wednesday. She had a first her first win. She looked good. There has been a little bit of some moisture on the court. Let's see. The courts
I've
are
a little,
slippery. Little grass is a little slippy, so you got to be careful there. But always great to see Wimbledon going.
Happy birthday to Dalton Smith, to JBD. Remember the
Bernard Docker.
Bernard Docker.
Jared
yes.
Bernard Docker.
And your
yes.
our buddy, everyone's buddy, noodles.
Oh, Jamie McLennan
is 55. He looks 38.
He looks 20. Really, he acts like a 20-year-old, too.
We will try to do the same tomorrow. Maybe even have another draft.
Yes.